Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Man, that was a quick first hour of the show. We've already packed in so much, and we haven't even touched football until now. We are asking you, though, what is the NBA or NHL playoff series that you're most jazzed up about? You wouldn't miss a game right now. It gives you a reason to get up in the morning. Well, another reason to get up in the morning. It's not so melodramatic. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I already see a bunch of your answers, which is great. And then on our Facebook page, typical Facebook. I don't know when you guys sleep or when you work, but you love your Facebook. So After Hours with Amy Lawrence there. And our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We do want to dive into what's been a tumultuous week in college football. Emotions running high. Many questions still unanswered. And to that end, we welcome former Ohio State linebacker and national champion Joshua Perry, now a Big Ten analyst. So he spent the week talking about what's happened in college football. Joshua, you're not that far removed from the game itself, not that far removed from the atmosphere that's created around college football. So if you could put yourself in the position of the players who've heard this announcement, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, other conferences, how are they feeling right now?
Yeah, and it was a lot of teams throughout the Big Ten, actually, where the players were making a stand that they wanted to play. And I can speak more to the Ohio State players, actually. It wasn't that long ago that I was playing there, and I know some of those players on that roster. And from speaking to them, I think the biggest thing is that there's no plan moving forward. You know, they get the news that the season is postponed until spring. But if you're a senior, for example, you don't know what your eligibility situation is going to be. You don't know what a spring season looks like. You don't know what the next day moving forward is going to be in terms of working out, in terms of getting back to classes, in terms of all the protocols that they thought they were going to be following as they were heading into a season. All of that has now disappeared. So I think it's really how quickly all of this was thrust upon them and just the situation of not knowing. That's really frustrating to these players outside of the fact that they can't play the game that they love this fall.
A lot of the Ohio State guys were part of that movement that was really Sunday into Monday, including Justin Fields, the quarterback, but many others trying to express their feelings that they wanted to play as long as they could be safe. On top of everything else, does it feel like their voices weren't heard and not taken into consideration?
You know, it's funny. Like, I was thinking about that the other day, and I think the reality of the situation is that they were heard, but they weren't listened to, if that makes sense. So I think there was an overwhelming awareness about this "we want to play" movement, and there were some very prominent names thrown in there, like you said. And it was understood, I think, to a certain degree that the players felt like they could go out there with the protocols that were in place and they were very comfortable with them. They felt like if students were coming back to campus, there would be no difference in that situation. And then the players being able to go into the facility and go to practice and then compete in games. But the reality of the situation is everybody kind of heard that, but they really didn't listen to them. And I think there's two sides of that story. Is student athletes are frustrated in general because they're not typically listened to, and this was really a big push that was picked up by everybody, media, college football fans. Everybody really enjoyed it, so there's that part of it. But the other part of it, and I think it's valid, is that even though these athletes are they are masters of their own experience, and they are you know, they're the ones who can tell you about that. The doctors are really the ones who understand the coronavirus pandemic, and so that information has to be valued too. So it was going to be a tough one for these athletes to use their voice just because of the state of the pandemic, but at the same time, you just feel like they weren't really considered.
Weirdly enough, they're supposed to be practicing, or they're allowed to continue practicing. So that part doesn't make sense to me. As you say, they'd be in a greater population on campus, and at least right now, it seems most universities have a plan to be on campus for the majority of the fall semester. And they could be working out, they could have football practices together, and yet not have games. That part I keep coming back to, it doesn't make any sense to me.
It's a very strange situation. I agree with you. I mean, you know, they're allowed to work out 20 hours a week right now, I believe, on campus, and it's going to be the same testing protocols and all that kind of stuff, which really, really blows my mind. And then when you truly think about it, too, if it's not safe for football players to play, then it's probably not safe to bring 50, 60,000 students back on that campus. It's, you know, that's a situation there. At Michigan State, I know that they were approved to play intramural sports this fall, but you can't actually play varsity sports, which is another one of those situations. So I believe that the lack of the lack of consistency,
sure,
the incongruence that exists throughout this scenario is what's really troubling. And it makes you ask the question, is this a reaction to the letter that players sent to the Big Ten, and they're afraid of some of the organization that could be going on amongst players? Is this a reaction to some of the liability questions that have been raised? Or is this really conferences trying to stave off the talk of name, image, and likeness and paying players? Do they want to really keep that amateurism? And so the best way they feel like they can do that is to not have football this year.
Really? Really? Is there some fear that that's actually part of it?
Yeah, the question's been raised because the Pac-12 players sent that letter in, and they had some really wide-ranging demands, and then the reaction was for the Pac-12 to really pull back. The Big Ten players sent a letter in, and it wasn't as demanding as what the Pac-12 players sent, but you evaluate the information that both of those conferences had before they canceled, and then the information that existed when it seemed like they had that tone shift of moving toward canceling. And the information about the pandemic really didn't change. What they had was players talking about organizing and players making demands, some of which were financial. And so you could make a case that this might have been a reaction to the amateurism question. And I feel like, and this is me going off, but if you would just admit that student-athletes are not just amateurs, you probably would have been able to cancel classes this fall, put student-athletes in a bubble, and then be able to let them go out there and compete. But when you're trying to classify them as the same as everybody else on campus, that's where you get into these situations.
Joshua Perry is a former Ohio State linebacker, graduated in 2015, and played for Urban Meyer, who recently spoke out this week, Joshua, about how there's no chance that spring football can work. What's your reaction to the idea of everything that comes along with college football? And it's a massive undertaking, moving to the springtime.
There are very few things that I like about a spring football situation. From a player safety standpoint, if canceling fall football was about player safety in the coronavirus pandemic, then you're facing a different player safety issue in the spring, because you're gonna basically go back to back on two seasons. You could make a case that all the anticipation of things that will change about the pandemic won't change by the time they start a spring season. You know, testing might not be better, the actual state of the pandemic might not be better, all these things, and then you're asking players to play more games in basically the same type of calendar year situation. And I think that's a really difficult undertaking. I also think that student athletes are so used to their schedules being lighter in the winter and in the spring compared to the fall.
Right.
So academically, they're able to get ahead, and they typically take more classes in that spring semester. If you add another season, it's probably going to put players back academically, and that's a big deal since they are student athletes. And then the other thing is it's hard for anybody to convince me that a spring season is going to actually matter. Like, I don't know if anybody's really going to give a damn about a t-shirt that says 2021 spring football national champions. You know, they're not probably going to give out a Heisman trophy. Are they going to do all American honors, all conference national awards, all that kind of stuff? And if the answer is no, then why even risk it and go out there and play? Let's put all of our chips in on playing fall football a year from now.
Joshua Perry is now with the Big Ten Network as an analyst. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Obviously, this is it's most devastating for the seniors. It's so hard to stomach. Do you stay in school another year simply for football? A lot of seniors are already planning on graduating and working on jobs and careers, which is hard enough in the climate that we're in. Heck, it's hard enough in any climate to come out of school and get a job. So if you were a senior in this situation, what would you be thinking about?
It's hard. I couldn't even imagine. Like, I heard a story about a player from the University of Michigan who actually dropped a class last year so he could have one class to take this semester to maintain his eligibility for a fifth year. And now to be in this situation where he might not even get to play that out is ridiculous. Mm. And you're absolutely right. It's the question of, do you come back and try to play because you're trying to put, you know, your best material out there on tape so you can get to the NFL? Do you try to play just for the love of the game and you know it might be your last opportunity? Do you call it quits and then try to get into this coronavirus job market, which is struggling for a lot of people, let alone recent college grads? Like, it's really hard to plan and forecast already with all the questions, and now you throw this extra variable in there. And senior year is supposed to be one of those that you remember, and it's supposed to, you know, kind of put a nice, beautiful little bow on a career that was probably filled with adversity and challenges along the way. And then to really sprinkle this in, I know that's not going to be the way that these seniors want to remember their last year of college football.
You went through the draft process. Could you imagine having done that without the ability to play in your final year or to go through whether it's combines or workouts or the option of being in front of scouts in person as opposed to tape?
The last year of tape for me was absolutely huge. And it was the combination of all the things that you just said, and I'm sure that they'll figure a way to do that. But the reality of the situation is if these players can't get a good enough number of games on tape for their last year, it could be a detriment to them. And Joe Burrow tweeted it. The quarterback who played at LSU went number one in the draft. He was a guy who was on his last year, and that was the year that really made him Joe Burrow, the household name. If he wasn't able to play his senior year, he said that he would probably be looking for a job right now. And there are going to be players that are really defined by their last year, and it's not to say that they're going to be the first overall pick in the draft, but it's going to put them in a position to live out their dream and to make a ton of money, to set their families up and to change their family tree. And that's what you feel bad about, is the missed opportunities here that you can't get back. And football is such a finite game with a short window, and every play matters, every year matters. And, you know, it's evaporating away from some of these players, and they're rightfully frustrated. And as fans, we're frustrated too, because a lot of us wanted to see some of our favorite players who are 4 or 5 year guys go out the right way, and we won't get to see that.
Just out of curiosity, because you were in this environment, so was I, although it was a long time ago, but what kind of faith do you have in athletes having them actually stick to the type of protocols that would be required for this to work? How much confidence do you have that athletes will stick to those protocols?
That's a really good question. Athletes are known for having extreme restraint and being able to do some things that take an immense amount of discipline.
True.
We've seen athletes change their bodies in a short amount of time. We've seen them strive to do better and better. We've also seen athletes do really, really dumb things that you would think, in the position that they're in, they wouldn't make those mistakes. And so I feel like it's really a toss-up, and it goes probably to the culture of the teams more than anything else. But like a scenario I see that's realistic is the third-string quarterback for these conferences that are playing, or let's say the third string linebacker who's not on the travel team, you know, is that person not going to go out to a campus bar or a party over the weekend while the team is on the away game and then come back and potentially spread COVID through his team? Mm-hmm. That's a realistic situation. And maybe it's more benign than that. Maybe it's you're sitting in math class and somebody you know, down south where maybe they're a little bit less restrictive. Somebody decides they don't want to wear a mask when they're walking around campus. And as you're walking to math class, you know, somebody sneezes and they get droplets in your face. And next thing you know, you've contracted the coronavirus. I feel like it's a really, really hard situation to estimate. And that's the biggest challenge here. We'll see in the next couple of months what really happens, but there are a lot of variables here, and I feel like it could get a little bit out of control quickly if certain things don't go right.
So then when you see the split in the Power Five, and you've got the Pac-12 and the Big Ten for whatever reasons deciding not to move forward, but these other three who are already, the other three of the Power Five, already going through the protocols and the practices and getting ready and trying, which one do you think was the right path?
Well, I'm a try kind of guy. I would have loved to have seen all the resources, all the effort put into trying, but I also feel like some of this is a little bit of a charade. It's a little bit of performance. And what I mean by that is you'll listen to Commissioner Sankey for the SEC talk about they're going to try and they're going to exhaust all their resources and they're going to explore every option to play. But then he follows that exact statement up by saying, but I'm not sure that we'll play this fall. Hmm. And so what I'm getting at is if he knew that they were going to play or he was confident, he would express that level of confidence. He's putting doubt in there just to try to prepare. Now, I feel like the tone of these conversations and the language has been lost among a lot of people. When the Big Ten released their schedule, it was very noncommittal. It was, if we play the season, this is how we're going to play it. And that right. was Kevin Warren's tone the whole way. Athletic director for Ohio State, Gene Smith, was the same way. And all of that to say that they could be doing all this trying, and I'm glad that they are. But at the end of the day, I don't even know if they're very confident in their ability to pull it off. So we might look back in a couple of months and say, you know, Big Ten might have called it early, but they made the right decision. We could look back. And they're going to go all ahead, and we're going to say, all right, well, Big Ten, you fumbled this one, and we don't know what the consequences will be for that.
Former Ohio State linebacker, Big Ten analyst, now Joshua Perry with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. You were part of a national championship squad with Ohio State. When you hear that there may still be a championship among the schools that are remaining, what's your reaction?
Oh, it chaps me so hard because this was a team, and last year they made it to the semifinal, and it was a very funky game. They were a few plays away from being able to compete in a national championship. Clemson got the best of them. And this is a year where if you ask anybody who follows college football, if you ask any of the analysts, any of the insiders, they're all predicting, they were predicting Ohio State versus Clemson national championship.
Ah.
So it would have been the rematch that everybody wanted. It would have been an opportunity for my alma mater to really go out there and to become a championship team. It's so disappointing that opportunity is taken away because even though Ohio State is a competitor year in and year out, it's hard to win the championship.
Right.
And so when you feel like you have the roster that's in place and, you know, it doesn't come together. And it's not because somebody got hurt. It's not because they just didn't play well enough. It's because they didn't have a damn chance to play.
Gosh, it hurts to think about the athletes. Even if it is the right thing to do, it hurts to think about the chances that are lost.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the big point of what you said. Like, again, we're all very fired up about this. I'm extremely fired up. I wish that they would have given a chance to the players to go out there and do what they love to do and to compete. But the reality of the situation is if they feel like this is the best course of action and it's the best way to protect players, we can be angry about the decision but also understand that it was done from a place of hopefully wanting to protect these guys. And we have to at least honor and acknowledge that. And I think one thing I was proud of from the Big Ten presidents and ADs is that their statements acknowledged that much, is that they were frustrated and they were disappointing, but they were understanding and they realized the overarching picture. And, you know, in all this reaction, I think it was lost upon fans a little bit because, to be completely honest here, some people, they can't stand their job, they don't like their spouse, they hate the house they live in, their kids are wild, and the one thing that they enjoy is 12 Saturdays out of the year to watch their team compete. That's taken away. But once you step back and you realize that we're in the midst of a pandemic, something that we haven't seen in 100 years in this nation, I think it contextualizes a little bit that in the grand scheme of things, we want people to be healthy. We want people to be able to, mitigate the risk so they can continue to do things into the future instead of putting it on the line right now and maybe jeopardizing what they're able to do later.
That is so true. You can find Joshua on Twitter at RIP_JEP. Joshua Perry played at Ohio State, won a national title, was a linebacker there, and is now part of the Big Ten Network, analyzing away football or no football. Joshua, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for the insight.
No, thank you for having me. Really enjoyed it.
So much to pick apart there with Joshua. And he has great insight from his time with Ohio State in the Big Ten football realm and recognizing that it's okay to be angry about the decision and to be heartbroken for the athletes, but still to understand it might have been the right call, even if it was made early. But I really want to talk about what he said regarding the athletes' voices and how they were heard but not listened to. So we'll do that when we come back. But he said the biggest thing right now is there's no plan moving forward. You don't know what the next day is going to bring. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, lots of you sending me the series that you're excited about that you can't miss. And it's kind of cool, right, in the month of August to have playoffs like this and compelling action to bridge the gap until we get to football and then even beyond, right? So September and October could be even busier than we're used to. It's November that will feel a little odd. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Possible blitz being shown by the Badgers. Fields with the ball. Back to throw. Looking left. Looking middle of the field. Fires middle of the field, and it's caught at the five. And dancing into the end zone goes Ohio State's receiver, K.J. Hill, on a touchdown pass of 16 yards as he weaved his way through the Badger defense. And Ohio State has their first lead of the night, 23-21.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Paul Keel on the Learfield IMG College Network, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. Really good to talk to Joshua Perry. Now, he graduated in 2015, and so he played for Urban Meyer. In fact, his 4 years were under Urban Meyer. And Coach Meyer is the one who said, no chance of spring football succeeding. And if you heard the interview with Joshua, he talked about the challenges of spring football and also said he's not buying any t-shirt that reads something along the lines of 2021 spring champions. I mean, it's just the whole thing, 20, 21, 22, it's all goofy. Everything's goofy right now. I feel like if I don't laugh, I'll cry. So I might as well laugh at how absurd sports have become and how twisted the calendar is. Now, having said that, there's still just a real pain in my heart for the athletes, especially the seniors, who now face some really difficult decisions. Do you put off graduating, even if you have more than enough credits and you're ready to move on to the next phase of your life? And I talked about it with Joshua. It's hard enough to get a job these days when the market is flooded with thousands of graduates every year, not to mention adults who are looking to change jobs. And in the middle of a pandemic, it's even worse when most companies are cutting, not adding, and jobs are at a premium. Health insurance at a premium. And I can't imagine being a senior in that situation. Now, I think if it were me, unless you really believe you have a future in pro sports, but the majority of athletes don't do that. They don't go on to play sports for a living. If it's me, I cry over it a lot. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I'm upset. But I have to move to the next phase of my life. In fact, it's not quite the same thing because I had a choice. But when I went to Syracuse for grad school, I had a year of eligibility left. And I worked out with the team for a bit and really thought about trying to walk on and play for one more year because I loved playing basketball and I loved being in a team atmosphere. But ultimately, the opportunity came up to do play-by-play for the women's team. And so it was a decision for me where I had to choose either playing and extending my own career for a year or getting a jump start on my play-by-play career, which was ultimately my dream. And I knew that this opportunity might not come up again. And so I put the sneakers away. Well, I mean, I played pickup and did that for a long time, even while I was on the Syracuse campus. But I went ahead and I decided that I would work on my career. But it's hard when it's taken away from you and you don't actually get the choice. And what Joshua said about athletes raising their voices and using their social media and unifying on that platform, they were heard, but they were not listened to. He's right. And while we don't yet know which conferences made the correct call, and he did say, I'm always a guy who wants to try. And I believe that too. There's no harm in trying. You can try and you can shut it down. You can't shut it down and then decide, oops, we made the wrong decision and start all over again. It's not possible. And so I appreciate, for the same reasons that he voiced, the SEC, ACC, Big 12, and others who will try. It may not work, but at least they're going to try. And in the case of the athletes, that's what they wanted. They're not going to blame the school if the environment becomes unsafe, if the pandemic doesn't wane and they can't push forward. But they are upset because they're not trying. The Big Ten, the Pac-12, others are not trying. And so that part, I really understand. They felt like there were health and safety protocols in place where they could at least try. And if you're already going to be on campus in a greater student population, and there are some schools where they're allowed to play intramural sports and they're going to be together in classrooms, well then, what's the difference with football? And so I really appreciate him sharing his perspective after having spoken to some Buckeyes players and also just the fact that he only graduated a couple years ago. And he did go through the draft process. He was selected in the fourth round and did the combine and the workouts and had the tape from his senior year when he played in a bowl. Everything else, being a national champ, it elevated him to the point where he did end up getting drafted by the Chargers in the fourth round. And that will change. Now, will the NFL make it work? Absolutely. But for a lot of these guys, it's the end of the road and their options are very limited. And who's to say that spring will actually work out?
No chance.
That's Urban Meyer, Joshua's former coach. So I'm glad you liked the interview. I'm hearing from a few of you already on social media. And of course, we'll put that on our podcast if you missed it. I know we have a lot of college football and Ohio State fans around the country. Our podcast, After Hours, amylawrence.com. Our Facebook page, same thing. Show Twitter, After Hours CBS. What's the playoff series that you're all jazzed up about now, whether it's NBA or NHL? We'll give you the hoop schedule when we come back after the break. And there's a lot already happening in hockey, which is awesome. And many of you wanted to know how my Skype call with my 98-year-old grandmother went. And so I don't know if I did take a couple pictures, but I don't know. I haven't decided if I want to share the photo of Grammy on Skype. It seems kind of private. But I will definitely share with you the story because it was amazing. And I, of course, did cry. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Screen on his left from Valanciunas, uses it, drops it back for Jonas. Open left wing three for the big man's good. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Jonas Valanciunas with his second triple. Third of the quarter for the Grizz. They lead 70-53. Grayson Allen on the left wing. Lobs over the top for Valanciunas. Valanciunas shovels underneath for Clark, who powers it up and in. It's a triple-double for Jonas Valanciunas. The big man with the triple-double, and the Grizzlies lead 97-74. As Morant comes around a screen from Clark, gets in the lane, kicks in the corner for Jang. Three on the way. Triple-double for the rookie, Ja Morant. As Gorgui Jang drills the three, ring it up, put three on the board, and two Grizzlies with a triple-double this afternoon. Morant and Valanciunas, a 22-point Grizz lead.
I would say our energy. I feel like we were locked in. Listening to coach, we all, you know, was here. We played as a team, as you can tell by the assist column. And we knocked down shots.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Ja Morant and the Grizzlies with 36 assists on 45 made buckets as the Grizzlies edged the Bucks and earned themselves a spot in this play-in wrinkle, the play-in round, or as one listener said on Facebook, the play-in should be called the wild card. Why not? We have a wild card everywhere else. That's the voice of Eric Hasseltine, the Grizzlies radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Morant finished with a dozen points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. And as you heard, Valanciunas also had a triple-double in this game. And so here's what we're looking at, folks. Coming up on Saturday and Sunday, the wrinkle in time eliminates the 9. Oh, that was so good. The number 8 currently is the Portland Trail Blazers with their last second victory over the Brooklyn Nets on Thursday. And so they only have to win one game against the Grizzlies either Saturday or Sunday. And actually Saturday's game starts at 11:30 Portland time in the morning, 11:30 a.m. So make some time after your Saturday sleep-in or your Saturday brunch or your Saturday exercise. Portland Trail Blazers can get into that 1-8 series against the Lakers if they beat the Grizzlies either Saturday or Sunday afternoon. And then if they don't, the Grizzlies win both, it's Memphis that moves on to the official NBA playoff bracket.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Thank you, Joe Kelly. That will never get old. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So we're asking you, which of the playoff series, either hoops or hockey, are you most excited about? And let's set the schedule for you. After Saturday, Sunday, they move into the official bracket, first round of the playoffs. Boy, have we waited a really long time. Utah at Denver. That's from the Western Conference. Then we go Brooklyn at the defending champion, Toronto. I know I'm saying at, but I'm giving you the home team, the higher seed. So the Nets are the 7, Toronto is the 2. The Sixers, well, they're the 6 seed against the Boston Celtics. And the conversation we had with Sean Grandy from Boston, still on our podcast, really cool information about that series and also about Al Horford, who most recently was with Boston in the playoffs. So that's your 6-3 series in the East. And then the 7-2 in the West, the Dallas Mavericks, Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis back in the playoffs for the Mavs, taking on the Clippers. So those are your Monday games. They start, listen to this, they start at 11:30 Mountain Time, which is both Utah and Denver. So again, 11:30 in the morning to tip off the playoffs for those of you who are in both Denver and Salt Lake City. And then on Tuesday, we get the other 4 series, Orlando and Milwaukee. That's the 1-8 in the East, Indiana, Miami, Houston, Oklahoma City. And then finally, the winner of the wrinkle, the Portland Memphis winner, will take on the Lakers. And so the schedule is set for the NBA playoffs, and we're also enjoying what's going on in the Stanley Cup postseason as well. The very last game that took place on Thursday evening had the game-winning goal scored in the final 40 seconds. I'm not sure if you saw it, but it was a perfect pass from Corey Perry across the ice, set up his teammate, boom, winning goal against the Calgary Flames with 39 seconds to go. So it's been really great action in both Edmonton, Toronto, as well as in Orlando. I'm thrilled. I don't know that you could ask for much more. It feels like both the NBA and the NHL have nailed it. So on Twitter or on Facebook, which series are you most looking forward to? And lots of answers. I'm excited. Now there's the typical grouches who say they're not watching any sports ever again for the rest of their life. They're boycotting all sports.
Boo-hoo.
Thank you. I was just going to say, where's Joe Kelly when we need him? Chris and I thinking alike. I need to master that sound. So that I can use it for those of you who are negative Nellies and refuse to ever watch sports again. So anyway, there are those of you who refuse to answer the question, but a lot of you are, and you're pretty excited about what we've got here on the table in August. Boom. Okay, let's see. We also have tennis this weekend, believe it or not, as they're ramping up toward the U.S. Open. We, of course, have golf this weekend, and coming up on CBS on Saturday and Sunday, the PGA Tour is back on the course. Players are teeing off at the oldest golf tournament in North Carolina. It's the Wyndham Championship, and the live coverage begins Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern. That's noon Pacific on CBS. So looking forward to that as well, especially in light of what we got down the stretch in the PGA Championship with a 7-way tie atop the leaderboard until Colin Morikawa stunned the world, specifically the golf world. But just amazing to see him take charge, and what a cool show that was among some of the best in the world. And so there's a lot going on. Baseball, too. And it will be good to see the St. Louis Cardinals back on the field. I know it's been postponed one more day until Saturday, so the Cardinals have an extra day to recover from this virus outbreak. They have not played since July 29th. To put that in context, they haven't played since the night after Joe Kelly and the Dodgers got into the brouhaha with the Astros. Joe Kelly has been, well, he's been suspended. He's had his suspension reduced. He's done a podcast all in the time that the Cardinals have been quarantined and sequestered. Exactly. That is the perfect way to put it. So the Cardinals haven't played since July 29th. They were supposed to reopen or restart their season Friday night in Chicago, but they're going to go straight into a doubleheader on Saturday, and they will stay in Chicago for a long period of time. The team had one more staff member that tested positive for COVID-19. I don't know the exact timing of it, but they're moving forward with replacements, with fill-ins. It's going to be a tough haul for the Cardinals, and I don't know that they can make up this ground. I'm not sure they can. They're going to play doubleheaders Monday and Wednesday, and essentially they're going to be moving forward like this until they run out of pitchers. I mean, that's pretty much the situation. We talked about it with the Marlins, the Phillies, the situation not quite as drastic. But their season's been derailed, which is why I cannot have any sympathy for Zach Plesac. I understand that the media very often makes a mountain out of a molehill. But in this particular situation, Zach, you created the mountain. This wasn't a molehill, nor should it have ever been a molehill. In light of the outbreaks with both the Marlins and the Cardinals, I mean, think about it. The Cardinals are one of the iconic franchises in Major League Baseball. They are the defending NL Central champs, and they haven't played in more than 2 weeks, and somehow you still thought it was worth going out, even if you were keeping your distance, breaking curfew, and lying about it. And it's not like your teammates don't think it's a big deal. Your teammates, Adam Plutko, he's the one that we had the audio from a couple of days ago. Was it yesterday? No, it was Wednesday morning. He's pointing to them and saying, hey, they're grown-ass men. They're the ones that should stand in front of you and tell you what they did.
The media is terrible.
But they lied to us. We don't trust them. They're going to have to earn our trust back. He was angry because these two guys, Plesac and Mike Clevenger, put the rest of the Indians and their season at risk. No, it didn't work out that way. It didn't work out the way that it did with the Marlins and Cardinals, thank goodness. But it could have. I just don't know how you make that choice when you see St. Louis sitting on the sidelines for more than 2 weeks. And here they are, past the midway point of August, they've only played 5 games. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Truthfully, I'm disgusted the way the media has handled this whole situation.
Well, I'm disgusted at the way you handled the situation. What do you think about that?
The media is terrible.
I would agree with you that a lot of times the media is terrible, like sharks swimming around chum in the water. But we got nothing to talk about, man, if you don't leave your hotel and then sneak back in and get busted by baseball security and then get sent back to Cleveland. Not to mention, if it wasn't that big of a deal, why is Clevenger sneaking around and lying about it? I mean, that's the thing. You don't have a leg to stand on. If you're lying about it, how can you possibly say that the media made more of it than it was? You're the one lying. If you didn't think it was anything wrong and you didn't think it was a big risk, then why didn't you tell your teammates and tell your baseball security right away? Goofball. I understand that he's frustrated. I get it. But you can't apologize to your teammates and tell them how sorry you are. And actually, he put a public apology out on his social media and then turn around and say that the media made it worse than it actually was. It's just putting more chum in the water. You got to figure out how these things work, man. It's a battle you cannot win. So the Cardinals will be back on the field Saturday, though I thought they'd be back on the field last Friday, and they ended up having more members of their travel party get positive tests. Did you also see that Steven Strasburg was ejected for arguing with an umpire from the stands? So he wasn't pitching on Thursday. He was sitting in the stands at Citi Field, you know, because the dugouts are not large enough to keep everybody distanced. And so he's enjoying his day off, kicking back, maxing, relaxing. And he starts yelling at the umpire for some balls and strikes. And he actually got ejected and had to leave. Now, he was wearing a mask, but the report seems to indicate that he was laughing underneath his mask. I guess you can make whatever facial expression you want underneath your mask these days because nobody would know the difference. So he didn't like the strike zone, didn't like the way that the Nationals were getting calls, and so he's sitting in section 121 at Citi Field. Ever been there? And he's yelling and screaming and gets bounced. Actually, what he yelled went over the Mets radio, or Mets TV, excuse me, so Gary Cohen had to apologize. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.